The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, the Build the Walls didn't get herself ejected in the state final, offered some dumb stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to say I dreaded showing up to this football game on Friday night, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Mike, if you want to talk, you have to talk into the microphone. There we go. Mic to mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTFM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee. This is Bird's Eye View, Jesse and Mike here. Henry is shoeless, but he has them. He is, well, technically shoe. They're not on his feet.
They are on his feet.
Oh, they're already on his feet now. Yeah. Look at him. He's a clever boy.
Over. People can start betting now. Will they make it through the entire show on this?
Oh, definitely not. Bad odds. Bad odds. The shoes, I think, are coming off by the 15-minute mark. Now that he knows that that's possible. Welcome back, folks. It is not swelteringly hot out, which is nice. It feels appropriate at the top of the show just to offer our condolences for the passing of longtime PHS photographer and our teacher Colleen Quinn. That really, really was tragic. I mean, I've been in the county since 2022, and it was just, you know, Pittsfield High boys and girls soccer games, volleyball games, football games, baseball games, softball, just everything. I'd see her there. Just certain things, I think, as a reporter, they're constants, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was one of them. Somebody I just, you know, if you even just you say hi to at a game, because we're in the same spot taking photos. I'm not from here, so not like I ever had her as a teacher, but just was always a very nice person. Seemed like someone who genuinely cared about the kids she taught and the student athletes she took pictures of. Yeah, just a really rough loss because every time, you know, kids would walk by, she'd know them by name. I imagine that was a tough day yesterday for PHS in general, for the baseball team. Greg Sukenik, our reporter, got a nice photo of all the students and just people in general lined up, I think, on the third baseline before the game who... You know, we're impacted by her. PHS went out and very clearly Frontier had no chance. And Simon Melly, 13 Ks. And Mike, you were there. You were at the game. And did this seem a little extra emotional?
I mean, it's hard. Like, it was a Western Mass semifinal, so emotions / celebrations, all that stuff is already pretty high. But just the setting was different. I showed up a couple innings in. Actually, I was unaware of this whole thing until, Greg let us know, because I showed up. I saw the chair. They had put a chair behind the backstop with a Miss Quinn jersey. Yes. Henry was there as well. He wanted to let you know. Miss Quinn jacket or something on it and a bunch of flowers, and I was like, oh, like it was you know, I honestly in my head I was like, oh, maybe it's like her birthday or something, because like she is always there and that would be right. Where she would be, and I was just like looking around and I was like, oh, I don't see her, that's odd. And then yeah, like I'm like, what is on the backs of their jerseys? And it's a white duct tape with Quinn written on it and all this stuff. And then, yeah, it kind of crystallized at a certain point that, yeah, what had happened. And talking to some parents and whatnot after, it was like, yeah, I was totally unaware. And it did. It happened crazy, crazy fast. And I talked to Simon Melly after the game, and he was, yeah, said, like, you know, we found out today early in the school day. Coach Pierce let them know. I think a lot of the players, or maybe the entire team, were kind of dismissed from school, and they came together and organized this tribute. And the other thing you noticed just upon showing up was the level of student support for a high school baseball game is not something you always see. You see it at basketball, football, even soccer, but sometimes during spring you kind of it lacks a little bit. But there were over 100 students in various groupings all along the grass along West Housatonic Street. And yeah, they were all kind of there for her. She was, I mean, I've been here for 10 years and she's I've just been a fixture. I won't say I knew her super well. We did live in the same neighborhood-ish. And she was a big part of the running community too. She was a big runner. And she would often tell me like, oh, I saw you out jogging or I saw you pushing the stroller. She would be out in her garden. She had this really nice, she has this great, I don't want to describe her house to anybody, but she had a great outdoor space at her house. I was always enviable, and she always had a bunch of flags and artwork, sculptures, stuff like that up in her yard. And yeah, she was just kind of always there, always taking pictures at everything. I think it went beyond sports, but for us, it's mostly sport. I'm sure she was at plays and events and stuff like that, but for us, it was signings. You're in the school building and you see her. She always had that... I think it's Skeeta hats. That was always her like thing.
Yeah. She always had the hat.
Thing for me was it's a running or distant or Nordic specific hat. But
and like the neck warmer.
Yep. Yeah. And I saw Siobhan Lemmy over at BRC posted this morning. Like she loved bright colors, which it was. That was a bright yellow hat. And yeah, early morning runs. And yeah, I guess in Greg Sikenik's story in the Eagle, she went out for a 5 mile run, which is very impressive for her to be doing at the age she was, regardless. And yeah, felt something off.
Yeah,
and
he gave me a phone call, kind of started. And yeah. I think he just like thought maybe the call got cut out, but you know, he said, hey, Colleen Quinn died. And I went, Colleen Quinn died, you know, and I like shouted it essentially. So it was, you know, I mean, I saw her like 2 weeks ago, you know, or 2 or 3 weeks ago, just at a game. And yeah, just I was very much in shock. So I texted you like as he was calling
Lowell,
me,
yeah.
And I think you were, you know, just like at an event, or I think you were maybe on the road or something. I was trying to give you a heads up so that you wouldn't just show up there. And
I think actually that may have been how I found it, because Greg did call me and I missed the call because I was getting both of these kids into the car to get to Clatt Park. And then yeah, you messaged me and I was like, that may have been when I officially knew that's what I was looking at.
I was hoping that, you know, yeah, you wouldn't just show up there and then have it thrust upon you.
Yeah,
a big loss, but it's certainly an impressive response from PHS. And we will see, I think it was Simon Melly who said that, you know, the rest of the season is dedicated to her. And so we'll see what the Generals can do. They are the number one seed in Class B. They beat Frontier, which is number four. They won
for a reason.
They won 5-0, and now they are going to face Wakona, which is number three, and knocked off number two. Taconic on Wednesday in the other semifinal. So it's Pittsfield Wakona at Joe Wolf Field in North Adams on Saturday at 5:30 p.m. And this is a rematch of the Class B final from 2024 that PHS won.
Yep, that one was at Wakona Park.
Which would have been the host, except for the fact that it is now under construction.
Yeah, Pittsfield, like these now, actually, for whatever odd reason, I wound up seeing both of their Western Mass tournament games. The first one we went mostly to see Gus Luff because we haven't. Essentially, I wanted to make sure we got pictures of all the top pitchers, and we hadn't shot Gus Luff yet. We hadn't shot Simon Melly yet. We've covered Pittsfield like 8 times. Somehow, we just haven't seen Simon Melly pitch. Or had a photographer there when he was pitching. So I was like, we got to get him and we got to get Gus Luff. So that saw those first two and yeah, went there to see what Melly could do. And yeah, wildly impressive. Whether there was, added motivation from the Colleen Quinn news, but 13 Ks, he was just kind of dominant. Struck out the side in the top of the first. Pitched through two brief jams in the second and third innings. Helped out by, I believe, a double play and... Matt Egan, I think, threw out a runner at home from center field. But after that, it was, just kind of doors. Like, yeah, Frontier very clearly could not catch up to his speed. And they scored, enough runs, really, in the first inning. Jason Cody's been on a tear right now.
He has been hitting the ball really well the last month. Because Maury Freed hasn't been doing as well. So...
Gus Luff got him twice. Made him look not impressive twice on two strikeouts, both coming in, with runners on and everything. But I wouldn't, super worry about that. But maybe he'll have more luck against a hard thrower, because it seems like they might face a hard thrower on Saturday night. James Rabeus, I was looking this up. So actually, a couple weeks ago, someone was like, what is the pitching rules in MIA? So Rabeus came in relief yesterday. I think it was a 6-4 game or a 4-2 game.
It was a 6-2 game.
6-2 game. So relatively close game. And
I was going to say it was an interesting decision, because very clearly Taconic wasn't going
to
get there.
If you wanted to, all right, we have the lead now, let's just get out of here. And James Rabeus more than said, okay, we're getting out of here. 11 up, 11 down, 3 2/3. But he only threw 42 pitches.
Yeah, I believe 45 is the cutoff.
Yeah, 45 is the cutoff. So he needs 2 days rest, which is Thursday, Friday, right. And they will play Saturday. So he is fully, at least on paper, available fully.
It was definitely an interesting decision. I mean, I imagine that Colin Parrott was just going to be like, this is an ironclad pitch count. You know, you're not going over 45, so we have you for Saturday. But still, it was an interesting decision, I think, mm-hmm. to throw him, given that you could have had Sam McLaughlin or one of the Hoffmans.
Couldn't have McLaughlin. He pitched a complete game.
Okay, so you could have one of the Hoffmans. And then
Luke Ferguson got the start, pitched 3 1/3, right. And got the league, got the win, obviously.
And you know, and like you're winning against Taconic, your bats are doing really, really well. James Rabeus had a home run. There's no shock. I think he has 9 this season.
3 in the playoffs.
3 in the playoffs. And so then, to throw Rabeus. I mean, you can say you shut it down, but they were playing
I'm sure
if it
was 10-2, that's a deeper question. 6-2, I feel like, he's still, you're at Taconic. I don't know. You're still a little nervous there.
In my head, it's all right, maybe they just wanted to keep his arm warm, right? Just keep him in rhythm, keep him, because he hasn't gotten a lot of, he hasn't thrown more than 4 innings in a game this year. He hasn't thrown many innings, period. So I guess it's all right, this is kind of a way to help ramp him up and get him ready for the postseason. So keep his arm warm, and he throws 3 2/3. And in, of the 11 outs he needed, or excuse me, of the 10 outs, right? Yeah, 3 2/3. So of the 11 outs he needed, 8 were via strikeout, which is pretty crazy. Now he's ready to go for Saturday.
To face Pittsfield and to face Jay Cody,
which is a pitching matchup we've been wanting all season. Should be a lot of fun. Should be a great game. Sadly, not at Wacona Park, but Joel Field. So that's where that will be. We will have to see. I doubt it will happen. Shocking to the Lennox AD yesterday when I covered Lennox, Hoosick Valley, Boys Lacrosse. We'll talk about that in a second. But the Lennox baseball team pulled off the upset, knocked off Drury, which has just had a really bad string of luck this year. Connor Hinkle and Carson Rylander, their two aces on the mound, both hurt. And Lennox beat Drury 5-3. Drury, the one seed reigning Class C champion. Lennox was number 5. They go from the 5 spot to the Class C title game. So had a huge run here, and they will face the winner of number 2 Greenfield, number 3 Westfield Tech. Greenfield was the team Drury beat in the Class C final last year. Mm-hmm. So that's most likely at McKenzie, which is in Holyoke. But one could argue that Greenfield and North Adams is just as far as Greenfield to
I think
Holyoke.
That was kind of set in stone, because they just assume the one seed.
Right.
You kind of have to when you're planning these things out, and they assume Drury can't play at Joe Wolf in the final. So that was going to be the move. But maybe this shifts things. It'll be a real test for Pat Colvin's power, I guess.
Greenfield and Westfield.
How much cachet
play
do you have as a year two, year three AD?
Westfield Tech and Greenfield play today, so if Westfield Tech wins, then I imagine it's a no-go, because Westfield's super close to Holyoke. If Greenfield, if Chalk holds there and Greenfield wins, then imagine maybe he can.
Yeah, if Westfield Tech, that would be, Bullens would be out, because that's their home, Westfield Tech's home, so.
So we'll see. Just a great run from Lennox. Robbie Bazinet threw a gem, threw 115 pitches on the dot.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive that they could only use him, and now they have Mason Daly, Seamus Cooney, and David Kirchner available for the final, and they'll need him. They'll certainly need Mason Daly on his best. But the team has done a pretty good job of getting hits when it needed to.
Robbie Bazinet, just clearly one of the upper echelon baseball players in Western Mass. He also clearly enjoys Joe Wolf. I saw him at Joe Wolf last week, and he also hit a triple. and scored. I believe they're in their two hits in their win over McCann Tech. I mean, back up there yesterday, had a double and a triple and pitched a complete game. So quite a day of work for him. He'll be back behind the plate on Saturday. We're just assuming it's Saturday. It would have to be.
It would probably be Saturday.
Because
the Greenfield Westwood Tech play today.
Right.
So they're not playing
back to back. So, they'll have, Mason Daly would be their ace. Fully ready and to go against whoever.
Yeah. On that note for Lennox, yesterday saw Lennox Hoosick Valley boys lacrosse in the Western Mass Class C semifinals. Hoosick, two-time reigning champ. Lennox was the two-time before them. Hoosick got Lennox twice in the regular season, and they got him again in the postseason. This three-game sweep, Hoosick over the Millionaires. Just an impressive run for Hoosick. They're back in the Class C final for the third straight year. And this game went more or less as I expected. I'll be honest. It was like 2-1 and then 1-1, and then Hoosick goes on a run. It's 6-2. And there's a couple of times when Lennox chips it close, but Hoosick felt like the better team. And they looked like the better team, and they played like it. And they got the goals they needed to. They clamped down on defense when they needed to. No one could catch a pass today. There's a lot of just bad stick work, which definitely needs to be cleaned up when you're about to play Greylock. But the Millionaires just didn't have that extra thing to push them over the top. Do have a couple of injuries, which isn't great, but even still, Jeffrey Larman got like 8 saves in the first half, and they needed it. And then Max Griffin for Hoosick, the goalie, got 8 saves in the second half, and they needed it. And just, they got a few more saves when they needed them, big one, and they also got more goals. Both teams a lot of time in the penalty box, and that's going to be a huge issue. They both had a player foul out. But Lennox had a couple of power plays in like the third or fourth quarter where they didn't score, and you just kind of knew that was the dagger. If you don't punch it in here, it's just not going to happen. Lennox cuts it to 8-6. All right, this is a real game. And Hoosick scores 3 straight, and there goes the game. Hoosick has seemed like the better team this season, and they proved it. And they will get another chance at Greylock, which this is just the season of injuries. Drury lost 2 of its pitchers. Mount Everett lost Jarius Taliaferro. and the Greylock boys lacrosse, girls lacrosse, we'll talk about them after the break. They had a huge injury in the Western Mass Championship game on Tuesday.
Seems like Bradenville Knave will not be available for the final for Greylock, who would be their leading scorer
He's like the leading point getter in the county on the boys' side. So, we'll talk more about all that when we come up. We can take a little break. Be back.
PCTV Select is a great way to watch local content without having a cable subscription. You can keep up with the latest of what's going on in your community from anywhere in the world. And it's available for free right now. Watch live events in full HD on your TV, on your computer, or on the go with your mobile device. Or watch our large library of on-demand video programs anytime that's convenient for you. No more waiting until it's on TV. Did we mention it's free? PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
At Pittsfield Community Television, we have a saying: anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff, we can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
Welcome back, folks. Bird's Eye View here on Pittsfield Community Radio, WTBR-FM, Pittsfield WSBR Lee. Just you and Mike. And we were talking about Western Mass playoffs. Some injury luck. Greylock got hit by it on Tuesday in the Western Mass Class C Championship game against Wakona. Wakona won 13-12. An incredible game at BCC. I should say that Hoosick Boys versus Greylock Boys in the Classy Final will be at BCC on Friday at 6 o'clock. So you can be there for that. Hoosick in its third straight, looking to defend its two straight titles. Greylock back for the first time in its second year, revitalizing the program. Well, they are the one seed. We'll see what will happen. Greylock, Wakona Girls. Kono defending champ, number one seed. Greylock, number two seed. And just a crazy game. Greylock hit by the injury bug. Goalie Tegan Brady went down. She's done for the season, unfortunately. She had I think it was an ACL injury in the offseason last year, and she came back and then re-injured it. And it seemed like kind of a death knell because Greylock had been leading and Wakona had been on a run, and the goalie gets hurt. And credit Addie Foles, freshman for Greylock, who had never been goalie before this season. And she stood on her head. Was incredible at 8 saves in basically 2.5 quarters. Stopped multiple free position opportunities. With no sarcasm, kept Greylock in the game. And the Mounties just could not... Their transition game was an issue. They could not clear the ball. And that really just hurt them in the second half. Mm-hmm. Way too many turnovers on that front. No adjustments. And then in the fourth quarter, they're down 13-12. And they had multiple free position shots. And they just missed. It wasn't saves. They just missed. Mm-hmm. And it was very uncharacteristic. And Wakona was able to chew out the clock and win the game. So it just, you know, a great showing from both teams. Very close game, which is what you would expect from two rivals, two teams that know each other a lot.
3-1 goal games.
Yeah, 3-1. Yeah, 9-8, 11-10, and 13-12. Yeah. So, yeah, just incredible game. And Wakona, back-to-back Classy champs. This is Greylock's first loss ever in a Class C championship game. They won twice. They've been twice.
Yep. They lost the B finals last year. So
right.
They've been in the final every year except for one.
Except for one.
Their
yeah.
first year in B. There were a couple things I noted during the game. I was on the field shooting, and the first one was actually, I think it was going to be a Greylock point had they wound up winning, and it was right after the injury happened to Brady. Greylock, I believe, went down and scored to go up maybe two?
Yeah,
something
no, they,
else
they
happening
scored
in my headphones
quickly
right
after.
Now?
Are you okay? What's going on?
Something. I hear something in my headphones, like radio or something.
No. All right. Well, as Mike deals with psychosis.
The other was just it was during a late timeout and the game was kind of winding down. But I'm sure it was the case for both teams. But I was like behind Wakona's bench and they were like just completely empty, gassed. And guy Chloe DeFazio, I think, most of all. And I believe she was kind of responsible mostly with marking Reese Raymond. At least going through the photos, video is mostly she's got a stick on Reese Raymond's back the entire time. And she was, yeah, like doubled over trying to breathe. And you're like, clearly, OK, this is exactly what you wanted to see out of a Western Mass championship game. Completely spent kids.
Yeah. Greylock was definitely spent in the third quarter. And that's kind of why Wakona took the lead. And I think also some of that was just dejection, which was not good to see, although they got it back in the fourth, but even still, they got a couple tough breaks.
I should also mention
that Megan Lagerwall, who is their third best scorer, one of their best defenders, maybe best, she was marking Brooke Harrington and was really aggressive defense, great on her. I got to be honest, I was a little disappointed because the second game between the two teams, I thought the officiating was fantastic. It was just like they let him play. You could tell that it was a big game, that the officials knew that they wanted to let him play. And in this game, we had a whistle 30 seconds into the game. It was for a yellow flag. Mm-hmm. And then there was a whistle a minute later for another. It was just, it did not stop. And it just felt very unfortunate that, you know, in this level of a game and an environment, just, you know, it's, they're going to blow the whistle as much as they did. And so anyway, Lagerwall got two yellow cards midway through the second quarter, and she was done. And Brooke Harrington took over. You know, when the primary girl on her was not in her face.
Yeah, that's playing.
Are you okay?
That's playing, that thing right there. The weather ad is playing right now over us. Or not over us, but very softly under us.
Okay.
I don't know if you could stop over there or something. But
not in my headphones. I think you are losing your mind.
Oh.
Anyway. What was I saying? Megan Lagerwald. Yes. So she was out, and that was just...
It was like the second quarter, too.
It was midway through the second quarter. And so that just like a huge blow because she's good on offense and she was doing great on defense. And then Brooke Harrington had four goals, and a lot of them were when Lagerwald was not in the game. And so, I mean, credit to Harrington because she stuck with it. And
Harrington Lacona as a whole, I mean, they get down 6-0, right?
Yeah,
6-0. And scored a goal late in the first quarter, I want to say in the last minute.
It was with 42 seconds left.
Yeah, and that's just like... I'm sitting there like, oh boy, this is...
I mean, you know, well, that's what I'm saying. You know, it was 7-3 Greylock, and then Lagerwall gets fouls out, mm-hmm. and then Teagan Brady goes down.
Yeah,
you know, and so it's like, all right, so yeah, it's a
attrition
4-goal game.
Was in favor of
attrition
yes, the Warriors.
Was not in favor. And so yeah, but you know, even still, Greylock had a chance to win the game, and they just, you know, they miss shots they usually make in the fourth quarter, and you can't do that. And so. Yeah, it's a tough loss for them, but it's a, you know, an impressive win for Wacona to beat that team twice.
It's wild to think
week.
That this Wacona particular, you know, the core of this team is still sophomores.
They're all sophomores, yeah.
And now they've won two Western Mass titles, so they could feasibly
win four?
Project this out. You win four straight Western Mass titles with this same group of Danielle Hagmeyer, Gianna Heilbrunn, Brooke Harrington, and Kennedy Dues is a sophomore. Chloe DeFazio, all these
Mia Thomas,
all these really young. They might even be younger. I think the Thomases and Olivia Johnson
might be fresh.
It's pretty impressive. Thinking back to a couple years ago, Wacona was kind of stuck in Greylock's league and getting blown out with these. I want to say it was Olivia Johnson, or maybe it was one of the Thomases that was like the only girl who could score. And they were getting blown out. And yeah, I was talking to Kathy Budage after these games, like, yeah, like, I don't really have a team full of seventh and eighth graders. Like, it is what it is. I see where this is going.
I remember
back in
2023. I mean, that was a Greylock team that was just unbelievable, loaded with talent. You had Sarah Palumbo, who's now starring for Wesleyan. You had Ainsley Abel, who's at Williams. But it was Greylock at Wacona, and it was like 17-3, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was just not competitive in the slightest.
Yeah, 2 years ago, Wacona was 4-15. They lost at Greylock 11-1 and 20-9 at home.
Yeah. So, very, very different now. They have clearly changed the program. And they are legitimately, you know, they are the standard bearer now in Class C in Western Mass. And we'll see what they can do in states. Wacona is... 11, Greylock is 12, I believe. And so that's as high as Wacona has ever been. It's one of mm-hmm. the better seeds Greylock has had, not the mm-hmm. highest. And so, yeah, they will both get a home game in states.
Yeah, I think we find that out tomorrow, actually. I think girls lacrosse and tennis are both tomorrow. Is that right? And then baseball, softball, boys lacrosse is next Wednesday.
I think that makes sense.
Obviously, power rankings will come out tomorrow morning, which... should be the final one, yeah, for those.
Yeah, yeah. I believe you're right. Tennis and girls lacrosse brackets are out tomorrow, so we will see what seeds they wind up getting.
Should also probably mention quickly that we also had Lennox girls tennis four-peated as Western Mass champion. So we have had two Western Mass titles be won. We have at least two more games to come, Class B and C baseball, and then yeah, we're finding out about softball as we go here.
Correct.
Oh, and obviously boys lacrosse.
And boys lacrosse guaranteed one. Yeah, Class B softball, Wacona is three. They are at number two Frontier tonight. So that's mm-hmm. the Class B semifinals. Whoever wins gets to face number one Hampshire, the two-time reigning champ Hampshire. And then in Class C, Lennox plays tonight. They host number three Greenfield, which is the four-time reigning Class C champion. If they win, they will face number four Franklin Tech, which upset number one McCann. And then in Class D, Hoosick Valley plays tomorrow in the semifinals, the number one team. They will be hosting Hopkins Academy in the semis with a trip to the finals on the line. But, so a lot of Western Mass action still to go. Brackets will all be out by Wednesday.
By the next time you hear our voices.
And then, yeah. So thank you all for tuning in. Once again, our condolences to the family and friends of Colleen Quinn. Have a good rest of your day and your weekend. Happy Memorial Day weekend. And take it easy.